feel quite right. And there was something about coming back and being here, even though all the destruction still evident around us. It's just something about being close to my family here. So I'm glad to be back with you today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me by quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You have prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a powerful, powerful psalm. And no wonder it has been the favorite of many Bible believers since it's been written thousands of years ago. And there's a lot of meaning that we talked about last Sunday. But as we talk about God as our shepherd and the wonderful thing about that, the Bible also has another phrase that's related to that. Really, it's in direct contrast to the idea of the Lord is my shepherd. The Bible often talks about sheep without a shepherd. And every time, it's in a negative context of what that means for the life of the sheep and for the world at large. And so what I want to do this morning is look at a few of those passages about what it means to be a sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd have no guidance. We just read, He leads me beside quiet waters. He guides me in paths of righteousness. Turn with me for a moment to Numbers 27. Numbers, the 27th chapter, and we'll begin reading in verse 15. Because Moses recognized the need for guidance, especially the need for God's guidance. Numbers 27, beginning in verse 15. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, May the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who will go out and come in before them, who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the congregation of the Lord will not be like sheep which have no shepherd. So the Lord, in verse 18, said to Moses, Take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him and have him stand before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. You shall put some of your authority on him in order that all the congregations of the sons of Israel may obey him. Moreover, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his command they shall go out, at his command they shall come in, both he and the sons of Israel with him, even all the congregation. Moses did just as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. Moses recognized that he was coming to his end. And for many years now, he had been the representative shepherd of the house of Israel. And he had guided them out of Egypt. He had led them through the wilderness. He had tried to help them in their times of trouble and get them back on track. You know, one thing that Moses realized, and I think we can understand from verses 15 through 17, is that he knew that we need guidance. He knew that we need a shepherd. And all we have to do is go back to Exodus 32 in the first 9 verses. You remember when Moses went up on the mountain? I mean, he wasn't gone very long. And what did the people say? Man, Moses, he's been gone a little while. I don't know if he's coming back. Well, Aaron, why don't you just take this jewelry, this gold, and make us this golden calf, and this will be our God. And you step back and you think, are you kidding me? Do you really believe that this piece of metal is going to represent the God that led you out of Egypt? The God that destroyed the armies of the Egyptians and defied the pride of Pharaoh? And we think how foolish they are, but there's so many times in our lives where we make choices of pithy little idols over the great and living God. We just don't see it because we're not holding some piece of wood or gold or something in our hands. But Moses' experience in his own life and with the people of Israel taught him that we need a shepherd. We need guidance because we often make bad choices. And a shepherd is not just someone that just kind of... Let me give you this example. Probably most of you have seen that Disney movie, Pirates of the Caribbean. And do you remember when the girl, whatever her name was taken aboard the pirate ship, and she came to Captain Barbossa, and she says, what's the word? Is it parlay? Is that it? She says, parlay. And supposedly, by the pirate code, what parlay means is that they have to take her to the captain, and she gets all these rights. And she says, the captain was going to throw her in prison. I can't remember exactly how it goes. And she says, no, wait a minute. I said parlay, and by the code of the pirates, you've got to do this. And he said, well, code's more like a guidebook. It's you know, they're guidelines. We don't have to necessarily follow them. And that's the way sometimes we view God and we view the scriptures, that they're just guidelines and we can waver here and there and it's not that big a deal if we don't follow them exactly. But a shepherd had authority over the sheep. It's been said that if a sheep was unruly towards the shepherd, that it was the common practice, like if it left the flock and started going a different direction, that when the shepherd would find the sheep, the shepherd would break the legs of the sheep to remind the sheep who is in authority. Of course, you may think that's cruel, but the legs would heal, the bone would heal, and that sheep would stay with the flock. Because it was for the sheep's own good, because a lot worse could happen to that sheep than a broken bone if it kept going away from the flock and going away from the guidance of the shepherd. And so what God said to Moses is, not only are you going to appoint Joshua as the shepherd to follow after you, but you're going to give him some of your authority. If he's going to take your place and lead the house of Israel, they need to know that he's got my stamp of authority on him. And really what we find out, if you go back to verse 21, is he's got that stamp of authority because Joshua is to lead according to the guidance of God himself. Look again at verse 21. Moreover, he shall stand before Eleazar, the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his command they shall go out, and his command they shall come in, both he and the sons of Israel with him, even all their congregation. So even the things that Joshua was instructing the people was only to come by the word of the Lord, by his guidance, when the priest would ask the Lord's counsel using the Urim or the Thummim. And so ultimately, God is to be our shepherd. I want you to turn for a second to look at Mark 6, Mark chapter 6 and verse 33, where Jesus also talks about people like sheep without a shepherd. And it directly connects to this idea of their lack of guidance in life. Mark 6 and verse 33. The people saw them going, that is Jesus and the apostles, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. You know, one thing that a wise person does is when you recognize that you're lost, when you recognize that you don't know your way, that maybe you've turned the wrong way. I'll give an example. I was at the hotel where my parents were at in Pennsylvania, and I was driving back to my sister's apartment. And I got almost there, and I went the wrong way. And it was at night, and there was this creepy nuclear plant just a couple miles of the way, and I was lost. So I started getting on the phone trying to call my sister who would know the way. And when we realize we're lost, a wise person seeks guidance. You want somebody that can tell you the way to go. And this is what these people were doing. They recognized that Jesus could tell them what they needed to do, where they needed to go. And they were running. It's not only that they weren't just, he's probably a good person to listen to. They were running and they were getting there before Jesus got there, so they were ready when Jesus was ready to teach. And he looked at those people and he said, they're like a sheep without a shepherd. And because they were that way, they were seeking for the shepherd. They were seeking for his guidance. But if you turn over to John chapter 6, Jesus was teaching a crowd of people. And as he taught them, they began to walk away from him, walk away from the shepherd. John 6, and look in verses, begin in verse 59. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble?" Skip on down to verse 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Now, as I said, a person that recognizes that he doesn't have the knowledge or the wisdom started to do that. They started to listen to Jesus. And I want to tell you, this is something I've done in my own life, in my relationship with God. That sometimes I go to him and I look for his knowledge, but then he teaches me. And I said, man, that's something hard. That's too difficult. That can't be right. And so I start looking for answers other places. And that's what these people were doing. This is difficult. But let me tell you something, that seeking guidance, if you're truly seeking and you recognize that you're lost without the shepherd, you're not just going to follow him as long as he tells you what you want to hear. Because then you're not seeking guidance. I'm not seeking guidance. What we're seeking is just someone that can comfort us by confirming to us that we were right all along. That our ideas and our ways are the right path anyways. And that's what these people were doing. And so they began to walk away. But notice what Peter said in verse 67. Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life." Now that is a sheep that's seeking guidance. Because he said, "Jesus, look, I'm right there with the rest." And so Peter said, you're the Son of God, you're the shepherd, I'm going to follow you wherever we go, wherever you go. And that's the idea that we have to have. And so Jesus said in John chapter 10, when he called himself the good shepherd, look in verse 3. John 10 and verse 3, "To him, that is the shepherd, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." The sheep, they're going to follow the shepherd wherever he goes, and they're not going to listen to anybody else. Sheep without a shepherd are lost. They have no guidance. And I've been there. Maybe you're there right now. And there's plenty of people in this world that are walking as sheep without a shepherd. But turn with me back to the Old Testament, to Zechariah, the second to last book in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 10, where Zechariah uses this imagery. Zechariah 10, verses 1 and 2. "Ask rain from the Lord at the time of the spring rain. the Lord who makes the storm clouds, and He will give them showers of rain, vegetation in the field to each man. For the teraphim speak iniquity, and the diviners see lying visions and tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore the people wander like sheep. They are afflicted because there is no shepherd. What Zechariah was trying to tell the people, because this was at a pivotal time in the history of God's people. They had returned from captivity. They had started to rebuild. And Haggai and Zechariah were battling false prophets and false teachers saying, no, we need to do this. No, we need to do it this way. And they were trying to get people to listen to the Lord, to listen to Him. And He said, look, if you ask God, God can bring you the rain. But these people can't do anything for you. These people are going to comfort you in vain. Yes, the Lord's way is sometimes difficult, but their comfort is in vain. They tell you, take the easy path. That's the better way. But you're going to be sorry for it. And if you follow them, you are sheep without a shepherd. And sheep without a shepherd have no comfort or no hope. You know, sometimes, especially in the ancient world, shepherds would have to go a long time looking for food or water for himself and for his flock. And you know, you can imagine the sheep go hungry. When I got home yesterday from Pennsylvania, our cat ran up to me and just meow, meow, meow. I think she was hungry. And so seeing her owner there, the cat had a sense of hope. Here's something. But you know what? If we don't have a shepherd, if we don't have anyone to lead us, there's no hope. There's no comfort. And that's what Zechariah. You can believe all these people who don't know the answers just like you. But if you follow God, then there's hope. And then you can have comfort in your sorrow. Do you remember what David said in Psalm 23 and verse 4? I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Anybody else could have been with him. Even his close friend Jonathan could have been with him. But let me tell you, David knew that if God wasn't with him, there was no hope. He could not take comfort. All those times that Saul was chasing him, all those times that he was in trouble, there would have been no hope and no comfort if God was not with him. And if God is not with you, brothers and sisters, you have no hope. There's nothing to comfort you in this world. If you're stressed, if you felt sorrow, if there's pain in your heart, if you're mourning loss, there is no comfort without God. As we often say, I don't know how people make it when they don't have faith in God. There's no comfort when you're wandering through life. There's no one that you can truly trust in because everybody's in the same boat. There's no one that you can pour your heart out to that really can provide all your needs if God is not your shepherd. And especially in the face of death, there's no hope and there's no comfort without God, who gives us the promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Sheep without a shepherd have no comfort or hope. A flock without shepherds go hungry and they become prey for the beasts of the field. You remember David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. He knew that as long as God is with him, he would provide for his needs. He knew that no matter what situation he was in, God would protect him because God was his shepherd. And God has always sought shepherds for his flock. We already talked about Joshua, who was the representative. Moses and Joshua, who was the representative shepherd of God. And we looked at Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And one thing that you can notice about that passage is that word pastors is the Greek word for shepherds. And so elders are shepherds. Peter talks about elders as shepherds. And so God has always sought representative shepherds for His people to feed them and to protect His people. Look with me for a minute in Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 1. One of the reasons that Israel and Judah ended up into captivity is because those who were supposed to be shepherding them on behalf of God were not doing their job. Look in Ezekiel 34, beginning in verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and with severity you have dominated them. Verse 5. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock, God says, through all the mountains and on every high hill. My flock was scattered over all the surface of the earth, and there was no one to search or to seek for them. In verses 2 through 4, Ezekiel says, Whether you have no shepherds or whether you have bad shepherds, the sheep go hungry. In verses 5 through 6, he says, Whether you have no shepherds or whether you have bad shepherds, the flock is going to go unprotected. They become prey for those around them. Ezekiel and Jeremiah both talked about the unqualified shepherds over Judah. And then we come to the New Testament, and Paul gives us explicit qualifications for those that would serve as shepherds over his people today. And unqualified shepherds in many churches, you have seen it and I have seen it, have destroyed congregations. And they have become the prey for those in the world. And that's what Paul said in Acts chapter 20 when he met with the elders at Ephesus. He said, You, as the shepherds, have the responsibility to feed the flock and to protect the flock. And he said, Wolves are going to come in, and if you're not doing your job, they're not going to get the food they need, and they're going to be eaten up by those wolves that are going to come in. And so, both in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, God emphasized the need for godly shepherds to represent Him and to work and oversee His flock and to care for His flock. And we need to understand that this means that this flock here at Highway 157, if we don't work towards that, this flock will be destroyed. It's inevitable. We need to take that with the seriousness that that means. Look with me in Matthew chapter 9. One last passage I want to look at in which Jesus talks about sheep without a shepherd. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. David said in Psalm 23 and verse 6, Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. Which one of you here this morning would not want that? Who is not seeking to have a good life? Who is not seeking to have the things that they need? To be on the right track? Surely goodness and mercy, loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Like Jesus, when we go out into the community, whatever we're doing, wherever we are, the Bible says Jesus saw the people. And we need to see the people. If we're too busy going about, if we're too focused on our careers, if we're too focused on our the things that we like to do, if we're too focused on us, we won't see the people. And Jesus was never... Even though his work was so important, Jesus was never so caught up in what he was doing that he didn't see the people. And he didn't see their needs. And when he saw the people it created, it pierced his heart. He felt compassion for them. There's not a better place to see that than traveling and going through all these airports. Just listening to the different people as I walked. Seeing the different people. Looking into many of their eyes and seeing how tired they were and how tireless they were trying to become successful. How they were suffering through different things. I heard a lady talking about the divorce that she was going through and the pain that was causing for her. I heard others struggling, trying to keep their kids, trying to get them on the right path, wanting good things for them. So many people here this morning are suffering and going through many things in your life. Jesus sees you, and He has compassion for you, and He wants to be your shepherd. And we need to emulate that when we see people. And we need to have compassion for them and lead them to the shepherd. He said in verse 38, the harvest is plentiful. And so many times we look at the evil of this world. Nobody wants to hear. Nobody wants to listen to me talk about the truth, talk about the gospel. They're not going to pay attention anyways. How dare we? How dare we challenge the power of God's Word on the heart of people? There are people longing for a shepherd, walking through this life, just looking for some glimpse of hope. And we've got it in our hands. We've got it on our lips to give to people. He said in verse 38 that since the harvest is plentiful, we need to pray to God to send out workers. And we need to be constantly praying for that. And we need to be praying for those that are working, that are trying to bring people to Christ. But what's interesting to me is that right after this, and I believe in every account in the Gospels, what directly follows this event and these words of Jesus, it follows here in Matthew chapter 10. He summoned His 12 disciples and He gave them some instructions and He sent them out to go teach in various places. And in verse 7 He says, "And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So it's not just, God doesn't just say pray and that's done. He said, yes, we need to be praying for workers. But then God gives us the instruction. He says, you go. And when you see someone, look into their heart. Tell them the gospel and don't question whether it's going to happen. Don't worry about what they're going to say, because if they're looking for the shepherd, they'll follow him. They'll hear his voice because they know his voice. But if they're not looking for the shepherd, they'll go their way. But we're commissioned to bring people to the shepherd. And we need to be doing that every opportunity that we get. It was amazing. I didn't count beforehand, but in the airport and different people that I talked to on this trip, I had the opportunity to talk to about 5 or 6 people about the Bible on this trip. Strangers, people I'd never met in my entire life. And it's amazing. I'm not trying to lift myself up, because I can tell you so many times where I've walked away from the opportunities that I've had to bring people to the shepherd. But it's amazing. When you set it in your heart to do it, the opportunities that will just flow your way. And we need to take that seriously, and we need to do it. If you're lost in life and in sin this morning, there's a shepherd that's ready to bring you into his flock, to comfort you, to provide hope for you. And the only way, in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, been a faithful